Good morning. Today is a great day. It's a fun day. Everybody's dressed up in their ugly Christmas sweaters and outfits. And Jared unfortunately got the wrong memo because he went to my closet and he got out one of my nice sweaters, but he made up for it by wearing a really ugly face. But he says it's genetics, there's nothing he can do. Jared, we love you anyways, buddy. Have fun downstairs with the kids. He's shaking his head at me. I don't get that. Hey, we do have a couple things to pray for this morning. Melvin Katzenberger's had a relative pass away. Harlan Bruner and is having ups and downs. Danetta Bruner had her gallbladder out. We need to continue to pray for Linda Eads, and she's getting tests back from her procedure last week. And a friend of mine, I got a call on Friday that he had a heart attack and had quadruple bypass surgery Friday morning. And so his name's Gary. So, man, there's a lot of people that are just going through the ringer this week. So we're going to start off with prayer, and we're going to jump in the sermon this morning. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us to get together and have a good time. Looking at each other and watching Larry light up over here. But the great part about it is the reason we join together isn't because we're wearing silly shirts and lights and tinsel. It's because of the fact that we do love you. And we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for loving us enough to send your son. And he is the reason we celebrate Christmas, the greatest gift of all. The one who is a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great physician, the way, the truth, and the life, and his name is Jesus. And we thank you so much that you know everything that's going on in our lives and in our world. And when things seem out of control, Lord, we need to just let go of the steering wheel and just say, okay, Lord, take control of all things. So whether it's getting older and having health concerns or going under surgeries or needing bypasses or the loss of a loved one, Lord, we just ask that you would walk with those who need your comfort right now, that your hand would be upon them and that you would bless them and give them peace. For you, Lord Jesus, are the Prince of Peace and can bring all these things into a shattered world. And we thank you for this day, and we do love you and we trust you, Lord Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, today is Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday, and many of us are dressed in absolute Christmas ridiculousness. And it's pretty cool because I was hoping Carl and Muriel were going to wear theirs, and they did. They did not disappoint. So if you have to ask, you just go and watch Christmas Vacation, and you'll be totally enlightened at how Carl and Muriel think. It'll be all right. You'll love it. Not all of us look super silly, but some are wearing vintage Christmas wear that brings back memories of 1975. You remember long before global warming, when we thought the world would be destroyed by a snow apocalypse via 1978. You know, we thought that things were coming to an end. We're going to freeze to death before we burn to death, but we don't. I wish they'd just make up their minds. And Thomas proudly last Sunday threw out the gauntlet and the challenge to everyone and said, let's see if anyone can top me. And I do believe in row number two, we've got a solid contender. He's got cats in hats and Christmas sleighs. Oh, it's fantastic. And he lights up as well. So we're gonna have to vote on that later. But I put in my notes, proudly Thomas is the unfairest of them all. I don't know, man. I think you might have lost. It's a toss-up between him and Larry Lightup McWorthy. So we're good. But you know what's really crazy is this, is that we go through life and we meet a lot of different people and we see a lot of different people. And most of us dress up and try to cover up a lot of things. You know, if you go back 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, you really think about who you were back then and what you did and how you acted, and you kind of don't want that stuff coming to the surface. You don't want that to be your calling card that everybody sees. And so most of us dress to cover up some of those things. And more than that, we spend time trying to cover up who we really are. A lot of times it's because we try to hide things that other people won't accept or like. We cover them up with clothes or smiles or titles or positions. But the unique thing is that every one of us needs to remember that just below the surface, no matter what we have on the outside, on the inside, pretty much we're all a mess. We all have problems and things that are of lesser quality. We've all fallen short of what God really originally intended for us, and we all need Jesus. And the great thing is that Jesus doesn't disappoint, and God didn't disappoint us. He sent his son that first Christmas morning so that we could have the incredible gift and promise of eternal life. That even though we're messed up on the inside and we try to cover that up, a lot of times we need to let him strip those things, layers away, so that he can begin to make us into a new person. And the only person to successfully be more on the inside than he was on his outward appearance was, of course, Jesus. And it's so incredible to think about Jesus in relationship to who he is and was and continues to be. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness. But the darkness has not understood it." Here, when John begins to speak of the Word, he is referring to and talking about Jesus. He's referring to him in such a way that it's kind of confusing for some to see. But if you take the Word out of there, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was the life, and the life, that life was the light of men. When you look at that and you see that he's talking about Jesus being there from creation, that brings about some important facts for us to consider and be reminded of today. And first, that is that Jesus is the eternal God and the creator of all things. We sometimes forget that the baby in the manger was at the formation of the things that made the manger. Sometimes we forget that the baby who was foretold that he was coming into the world was the one that made the world and everything in it. He fashioned man from the dirt of the earth. He breathed life into his lungs. He created everything. And he did it because he loves us. And he wanted to show us his love. And there is something incredible that sets him apart from everyone else. He had some kind of light inside of him, something that was more than we could understand. And it was the same life and light that he breathed into us when he created us in his image. You know, he didn't breathe life into cows. He didn't breathe life into the other animals. He didn't breathe life into the trees, but he fashioned man, and he had everything there, and he could have just walked away like he did everything else and just pushed it along, but he breathed his very image and life into us. And sometimes we take that for granted. Sometimes we forget that we are truly more than we currently are right now. We're not God. Don't go there, all right? But we are more than we can be right now under our own power. He breathed into us his life, and he's pulling out the things that are holding us back because he wants us to become more and more like him. And one day he will make us perfect. But because men got so messed up over the course of time since Adam and Eve in the garden with the very first murder that took place, with all the different things in the subsequent years where everything seemed to fall apart, he said, "Now is the time for me to send my son into the world." And it's really cool that in John 1:14 it says this, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And what's beautiful is this, is when he did that, when God originally had fashioned us and he created us in his image and breathed life into us, one of the really cool things was he chose a young woman out of all the people on the earth. He chose this one young woman to bring his son into this world through that vessel. Now, Mary is a pretty awesome gal. All right? God says she found favor with him. She is an amazing woman. Fulfilled her role. But don't lose sight of Jesus and get caught up with Mary. I listened to a whole thing on the radio yesterday on the way here, on the way back from Indiana. It was crazy. But there was this incredible thing that they were pouring out, and it was like, I began to wonder what they were thinking about who was more important in the Christmas story. And they were actually leaning towards Mary. Don't lose Jesus. Don't lose Jesus. Because he's the reason that we have hope. He's the reason we have eternal life. He's the reason that we have all that we have. Because there's some important facts we have to consider today from Jesus and who he is and what he has done. It says that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. He was full of grace. And I looked up some of those words that were there. And here's what's cool, as it said, it was loving kindness, goodwill, redemptive mercy, given to everyone, given for everyone. We've heard songs written, love so amazing, love so undeserved. This love poured out at the richness of Christ's expense was something that is such undeserved favor on our part. And God wanted to pour out his grace upon us. That he wasn't going to let sin and separation keep us from him. He sent Jesus full of grace to us. And you look at how he responded to those who were really messed up, people like us that were messed up and living in sin. He went to them and he loved them. And the self-righteous religious people, he wasn't as graceful with them. But he still extended grace to them. He still loved them. But he dealt with each one according to what they needed and deserved. But he always extends grace to us, his loving kindness. And he is full of truth. You ever met someone who's always right? Huh? We ever met someone, not thinks they're always right. I'm someone who is always absolutely 100% right. Never wrong. They know the truth. They know all the statistics. They've got all the information. And it's like, okay, what's the use of arguing with you? And you can't. But here's the thing. The truth that Jesus was full of and sharing with us wasn't just, hey, you know, the sun rises east and set it in the west because I made it that way. And you know, the earth is tilted perfectly, so that gives us great seasonal times. And I've done all these things, and all this happens perfectly. And this is why he didn't just bring us that, but he bring us the truth of the fact that God loves us. But Jesus always knows full detail the truth in every situation. That's why he could look at different people and love. That's why he could look at the woman in the well and still love her and reach out to her in loving kindness and grace and truth. Jesus makes Santa look like a poser. Santa gets a song. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sakes. Yeah, right? Here's the deal. Jesus even knows what Santa did wrong this year. So Santa better get the act in order. You know, men make claims about things, but Jesus spoke all of creation and its properties into existence. Laws of nature, he wrote them. time, his idea. What was, is, and is to come, he wrote it all out, and he's still making it happen today. Quantum physics, he's light years ahead of the brightest scientists. Come on, that was good. Come on! He teases them with black holes and ripples in time and space and watches them chase after things he knows completely, and if they would just come to him, he would share with them the truth. He has the ability to analyze and judge any and every situation accurately according to the truth, and there is none better than Jesus at it. That's why he is the one that will judge fairly at the end of time and separate sheep from goats. Because you know what? There's a lot of people dressed up in churches today with righteous clothing on the outside, but really on the inside, they're nothing but filthy rags. And he's going to sit there and he's going to separate. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be people that's not on the same side as you, and everybody's going to be wondering, which one of us messed up? Which one of us? If you're in the G section, Fredericks, you'll get a good glimpse of where you're, if you're in the right side, if you see Billy Graham, you know, you're behind you a little bit. It'll be all right if it's alphabetically. But here's the thing, Jesus, full of grace and truth, can look and make judgment calls and love us completely. Now, I wrote this and I asked some people about it. And they said, go for it. So if you want to be like anything in this world, be like Jesus, full of grace and truth. Because if you're going to be accused of being full of something, it might as well be grace and truth. Because there's only one thing to be filled with more and better. And we're challenged by Paul with this in Colossians chapter 3. It says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, there are times when we exercise these different virtues to different extents. Sometimes they're turned down to a zero. Sometimes they're turned up to 10. And it basically is based on the relationships we have with the people. But God was set on 10 for all of us when he sent his son to show us kindness and mercy and love and gentleness and patience and humility and what real forgiveness looks like. And you know, all of these things should stem from the grace and love and understanding and truth that we have from God. Because one thing is sure, we have been chosen by God and we're being made holy by God's hand. And as dearly loved children of God, we are to clothe ourselves with those things. And you know what? What's interesting is this. We got all of this squeaking going on in the sanctuary, right? And it's a great thing. Little babies mean new life and they squeak and they squawk and everything else. And right now, it's really cute. But when they hit 10, 12 years old, you don't want to be changing diapers or putting on clothes on them. They should be able to do that on their own. They need to get themselves dressed. They need to prepare themselves for the day ahead. They need to get all things in order. And they need to do it on their own. And that's what God's saying. He's saying, look, clothe yourself with these things. You need to do this. You need to be kind and compassionate and loving towards one another. You need to be humble when you're dealing with each other. You need to be gentle and patient and long-suffering until everybody comes along to the point where God wants them to be. And if that isn't tough enough, because some people, it's hard to deal with them like that and love them because they're just... Anybody got any pain in the necks? People in their lives? And then he goes on to say, and I think, I don't know, Paul crosses some line here, I think. He says, if that's not tough enough, he says, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. You know, a lot of times I think that we forget that we've always been somebody's pain in the neck, pain in the side, And here's the thing. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. And if forgiveness was that important to Jesus that he was willing to die to forgive us, then we should work equally as hard to forgive the people around us. It's one of the toughest things. We have a responsibility to work toward those goals. Our job, our responsibility is that we must clothe ourselves in his grace, his truth, and to live out his righteousness in a holy life before him every single day. And sometimes we ask ourselves, how is this even going to be possible? You don't know the person I'm married to. You don't know the person that I live with. You don't know the person that I, the people that I work with. You know what? It doesn't matter what they are. It matters who you are. For you are God's child, and he says, because you're mine, you should act this way. You know, my son, I don't know if you've seen him. He was really cute when he was about this tall. Now, you know, there are some people, I guess, that think he's cute. But today I looked at him when he walked in, and he walked in wearing my sweater out of my closet. I'm like, he's wearing my sweater. Scumbag. Now it's going to stink like him. What's it, you know? And I looked at him. And it fits him well, and it looks good. He's wearing it better than I can, because I wear it a little differently around the midsection than he does, right? Wouldn't it be so cool if we wore grace and truth and love, the very grace and truth and love of God, as well or better than he did? That's what he wants. That's what he died for. And that's what we can do. Here, Jared did not ask me if he could go into my closet and get my stuff, right? He just did it because he's got full access to my stuff, whether I like it or not. God really likes that you have full access to his grace, his truth, and his love. Matter of fact, I doubt he has a door on his closet. And he's like, raid my closet anytime. And the way that it all holds together and makes it possible is because of this. It says at the end, and all over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. God's very serious when he commands us to love him first and love others second. And we are to love others as we have been loved. And we're to forgive as we've been forgiven. Because God is love, and that's what he desires. Listen to these words in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, but whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one ever has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Again, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. We love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, we talk about a lot of things at Christmas time, and it's good to see you, and it's great, and thank you, I love you, and we give hugs, and we go out the door, and we go, man, Christmas time is so draining. But the greatest gift given at Christmas has always been love. God, who is love, put on flesh and came to us that first Christmas morning. God showed us his love, and more than just sending his son, he showed us how love lives, how it acts, and how it responds towards a lost world. How to love those who hate us and even try to kill us. He showed us that he had made promises that he has kept to the letter, and he has a few more to fulfill, and he will, because he loves us. But until then, he has commanded us to go into all the world and share his love, his grace, and his truth with everyone, so they too can know him and his love for them. It's not the little baby's job anymore, or the shepherds in the fields anymore, or the angels of heaven themselves. It is solely our responsibility. Because like Miss Barb said this morning, there are so many people in this world who have been given the gift and the opportunity to have the gift of Jesus Christ, yet never open the box. And not only that, they don't even care what's inside. Because the world, unfortunately, has grown tired of hearing that they have been given a gift from God. But it's time that we help them open the box. That we pull out the hot glued together candy canes that look like a heart. That we pass them on to the people we meet and we show them what real love looks like. It's time that we also strip ourselves clean of everything but God's love and go tell the world this incredible news that God loves you. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says this: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on the garment of love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And you know, if you do these things, you'll never be embarrassed or underdressed wherever you go. You'll always be clothed perfectly before God and man. And you'll be able to find the strength to love everyone tenderly and truly with grace and with truth. Because that's what you're called to do. Because that's what God has done for you and for me. So let's pray as the worship team comes to lead us in our closing song. And as we go into this Christmas season, let's dig a little deeper and not give out more cash. Let's dig a little deeper and not give out lesser gifts than God's gift of love. Father God, we thank you so much that you dug deep when you sent your son to be born in a manger. That his life meant something more than just Christmas gifts. It meant that we would see you, we would know you, and we could love you and serve you with all of our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give us the strength and courage to do more than dress up in silly, ugly Christmas sweaters on a Sunday morning and come to church where it's safe. But we would take the truth of you and your love into a lost and dying world not worrying about ridicule or abuse, but we would do it because we have been loved, we have been forgiven, and we want everybody to know that they can be too. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. May we put on your grace, your truth, and your love, and wear it well. In Jesus' precious and holy name, all God's people said, amen.